It is my pleasure to introduce you to the 21-car starting field for the Lucas Oil 150. For the Partridge Trucks Pro Stock towards Rycon Construction, 08 starting scratch in the field, Jim Pattison, least also on this race car. From Dartmouth, Nova Scotia, give it up for Nicholas Noggle! Children's Wish and Orange Store on car number 11. He runs out of Eastbound Park. He's from Four Toe, Newfoundland and Labrador. Making his Partridge Trucks Pro Stock Tour debut, make some noise for Phil Fowler! Outriders, Cookhouse, Oyster Bed, Right Stop, Go Chase Auto Repair, 07. Next up on the grid from Oyster Bed Bridge, Prince Edward Island, Allison McKinnon. R.A. Lawrence Engineering, Tomac Services, Eastward Sales, car number 42. From Smithtown, New Brunswick, Andrew Rogers. Sherwin-Williams Automotive Finishes, English Jewelers, car 02. Ron Arsenault Racing, also on this race car from Riverview, New Brunswick. He is your leading Exide Batteries Rookie of the Year contender on the tour, the Thrill Maker, Craig Ward. Direct Tire Stores, Tire Canada, Standard Aero, Summerside Chrysler, among the sponsors on car number 8 this season. From Westmoreland, Prince Edward Island, give it up for Ken Vincent. Entice Motorsports, West Nova Propane, Ace in the Hole, among the sponsors on the 21 car this season. From Bridgewater, Nova Scotia, Sean Pierce. Andy Service Limited, Tim Myers Excavation, car number 80, making his debut on the Parts and Trucks Pro Stock Tour from Brackley Beach, PEI. Give it up for Jamie Stewart! Quinn Flooring, Blankhorn Auto Recyclers, Auto Right Service Center, car number 67, next up on the grid. Your point leader hails from Truro, Nova Scotia, Dylan Blankhorn! Gravelock Soil Stabilization, car number 81, from Marshfield, PEI. Make some noise for Nevin Scott! Chris Fournier, Remax Feasible Fuels, 01, next up on the grid. One of the locals here at Oyster Bed Speedway, one to watch here this evening. Make some noise for Troy Burke. Chapman Brothers Construction, Morris Industrial, Reynolds Well Digging, car number 5, next up on the grid. Looking to sweep Oyster Bed this season. From Brudenell, Prince Edward Island, Jonathan Hicken. Archibald Drilling Blasting, Howard Little Excavating, Tri-County Waste, car number 99, next up on the grid. He was on the podium the last time we were here. From Terrence Bay, Nova Scotia, Craig Slotwhite. Shaw's Towing, Kears Doors, McKinnon Trucking, car number 18, next up on the grid. From Charlottetown, PEI, Darren McKinnon. Right on board, Locksmith, H&B Glover, Wayne's Automart, car number 14, next up. From Albany, Prince Edward Island, Terry Dugay. Superior Foundations, Top Construction, Atlantic Tilt Load, car number 54. From Porter's Lake, Nova Scotia, the hat game is strong. Black is the new red. Give it up for Jared Butcher. Car number 82, Subaru of Moncton Tops to Floors. Subaru from Brackley Beach, PEI, Chris Hughes. Dexter Construction Municipal Group and Ledwidge Lumber on car number 0 this season. From Enfield, Nova Scotia, Sean Turpal. Atlantic Dodge Dealers, Loyalist Marble and Tile Dodge, car number 29. From Springville, make some noise for Greg Proud. Farrell's Excavating, car number 48, next up on the grid inside of row number 2. From CBS, Newfoundland and Labrador, Waylon Farrell. Beaton Racing, Rising Construction, Island Auto Supply, and Wayne's Automart are part of the sponsors on car number 40. Your outside pole sitter from Sherwood, PEI, is Robbie McEwen. And completing your field, Hines Racing, Hines Paving, Greenfield Enterprise, car number 91. He hails from Cornwall, Prince Edward Island. Make some noise for your pole sitter, Dylan Gosby. I'm going to work my way back over here because I know we have a couple of happy people over here, people that are about to make people happy. We've got our 50-50 draw to be made. We'll get the number drawn out of here. Dig out your 50-50 tickets. Yellow ticket, 9858622. 9858622. If you have that number, please see our representatives at the office. And before we go racing here this evening, we'd ask everybody to please rise. Gentlemen, remove your caps. Coming all the way from St. John's via you're in Moncton now, aren't you? Sarah Squire is going to sing us through the Canadian National Anthem.
Oh, Canada, our home and native land, true patriot love in all of us command. With glowing hearts we see thee rise, the true north, strong and free. From far and wide, oh Canada, we stand on guard for thee. God, keep our land glorious and free. Oh Canada, we stand on guard for thee. Oh Canada, we stand on guard for thee.
Thank you, Sarah Squires. And for the eighth time this season, drivers, please prepare your cars for competition.
Good evening, everyone here at Oyster Bed Speedway and the listeners worldwide on racetimeradio.com. We're in for a smoker of a race tonight in the Lucas Oil 150. Tonight, it's race number 8 of the 12 race series in the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour. Winners this year have come from all over the Maritimes. Will tonight be dominated by the drivers that have cut their teeth right here at Oyster Bed Speedway and PEI? We're about to find out. We turn now to the Racetime Radio broadcast team. The crew chief tonight from Paris, Ontario, Jerry Paxton, along with Josh Paxton out there in the pit, and a seven-time champion of different disciplines here in the Maritimes, Brad Mann. Roll in the voice of the Parts for Trucks Tour, Tim Terry, and we're all in for a dynamite broadcast here tonight. So sit back, relax, grab something cool to drink, Canada. It's race time in PEI and brought to you by Atlantic Tilt Load, servicing Canada and the U.S. And it starts right now. Over to you, Jerry Paxton.
And good evening and welcome to Oyster Bed Speedway. It is the Lucas Oil 150 presented on Racetime Radio tonight by Atlantic Tilt Load. It has been a beautiful day here in Oyster Bed Bridge, PEI. We have thoroughly enjoyed the weather. We've enjoyed the camaraderie, the welcome we got here, and we're looking so forward to coming back. The only thing we're looking more forward to tonight right now is the start of this Lucas Oil.
Is celebrating today the good... You were waiting for that, weren't you?
Yes, I was.
Once again, happy birthday to Doug Bird. He works hard in our tech inspection area. Happy birthday to Andy White, and happy birthday to everybody celebrating and putting on a great birthday party here. They're getting ready to see 150 laps of green flag racing.
Did I catch that correctly? You were trying to force feed him cake?
I wasn't trying to force feed him cake. They were trying to force feed him icing. It didn't work, did it?
No, it was really actually awful. He's all stained now on his forehead.
It failed. Let's put it that way. It failed.
Well, it's going to be a fun night here in PEI. We can tell already. We can see it coming. Hey, we're getting ready to get things started looking over turns 1 and 2 tonight. It's going to be our seven-time champion in different disciplines, but very knowledgeable when it comes to these pro stock cars. Brad Mann, you watched a lot of practice and heat racing today.
One thing I noticed today, Jerry, there wasn't any give anywheres. It didn't matter if it was in the street stocks or if it was in the legends, the heat races these guys put on. They were fighting for every inch of real estate. I expect we're going to see a lot of rubbing and a lot of sparks here tonight at Oyster Bed. It's a fast, fast racetrack, and things happen in a hurry. And when something happens, sometimes somebody innocent gets collected up because there's nowheres to go.
And, JP, I know you're out there somewhere. You were positioning yourself to put the call on turns 3 and 4. Those are the ones that are big and fast here at Oyster Bed Speedway.
I'm in the same spot I normally would be, but instead of being on the infield, I'm outside the fence, just on the entrance to turn number 3. I've had a smile on my face all day since we got to Oyster Bed. I love this track. Let's paint the picture. It is a great Canadian short track. It has tight turns down in 1 and 2, and then it's shaped like an egg, down to a wide sweeping 3 and 4, a little bit higher banked. It's going to be an exciting run down to the finish. We'll what's really cool, the pits are behind the main grandstand. The grandstand that looks over the front straightaway, if you're at the top, you can look over your shoulder, see what all the drivers are doing down in the pits. Since we've been watching all the qualifying today, I've been really thinking about it, Jerry, how to explain it to all the great race fans listening on Racetime Radio, and here's what I got. When we go to Antigonish, it's like watching a fight on a football field. When we go down to Scotia Speed World, that's like a fight in a wrestling ring. Tonight here at Oyster Bed Speedway, this is a UFC cage match. There is no place to run. It is 100% chance of contact, and it's going to be a great race.
Race director Scott Cunning standing behind me said, you are 100% correct. Josh, I've never known you to be 100% correct on anything, but prove me wrong tonight, please. Looks like all the drivers are getting set. I see a lot of hands in the air. Tim Terry, back to you.
We're just waiting on a couple of more drivers to get ready. I see the 54, Jarrett Butcher, getting strapped in. The 0 of Sean Turple. The 29 of Greg Browns is just a few more moments away. Dylan Gosby also getting strapped into his race car. So just a few moments away before we go racing.
And we made our picks a little bit earlier tonight. Of course, I picked the guy that I think is easy. He's super fast on this racetrack. He's starting in the pole position. That'll be the 91 of Dylan Gosby. Brad, I know your pick. You're pretty solid in support there.
Well, you know, I got pretty tight in with the Blakehorns. I always have a chat with Grammy and Grampy, and I got a lot of friends on the tour, Kent Vincent and all the boys from the island. But I've just stayed with the same number all year. I've been kind of loyal. You guys jump all over the place.
Different conditions, my friend.
You can make whatever excuse you want. I take the good with the bad, and I've been loyal to my 67 all summer long so far.
Hey, Jerry?
Yes.
I'm going to interrupt you because we're about to get this party started.
Gentlemen, I was hoping so.
Let's get this party started.
Let's do it.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
Here we go. 150 laps presented by Lucas Oil and Parts for Trucks. Set to go green here on the island.
And the engines are fired as we get set to go. It is the Lucas Oil 150 presented by Atlantic Tilt Load. Remember, when you've got to get it there quickly, Sure Shot Service, you'll find it at Atlantic Tilt Load. It is a beautiful night in PEI. The sound of music in the air. That is 22 Maritime Pro Stock Tour cars fired up and ready to go racing. We've seen a little bit of carnage in the Maritime League of Legends race. We're hoping we don't see that tonight as we get set to go with the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour cars, but time will tell. We're hearing 100% chance of contact. Oh, let's not even think about that. This is going to be a great race. Buckle down. If you haven't got your belts tight, you better do so, because otherwise you're going to fall out of your chair as we begin the race time radio coverage live from Oyster Bed Speedway. It is the Lucas Oil 150. We're watching now to see as the cars get set to roll off down the front straightaway into turn one. Drivers are set, just making sure that everybody's ready. I see them having a quick chat with Dylan Gosby, the pole sitter, just making sure Dylan's comfortable in the race car. 150 laps isn't the end of the world, but it's a long time.
Hey, Jerry, if you can find John from Lucas Oil, you might want to check with him. I'm pretty sure there's a great Lucas product that these drivers could put on these bodies that would help keep those tire marks off. Maybe they could glide off of competition instead.
Hey, we use a lot of that speed wax at the shop. It's a tremendous way to keep your car clean and pretty. And it is a little on the slick side. You might be right. That slick mist might be just the answer. Lucas Oil Slick Mist, keeping your car looking beautiful. And, of course, Lucas Oil Stabilizer, keeping that engine alive. Great products from Lucas Oil. We hope you check them all out. Haven't found a bad one yet, and I think I've tried just about all of them.
Field begins to roll here around this Oyster Bed Speedway. Beautiful field of race cars. Beautiful evening of racing. Marvin Stewart is the winner of the 50-50, so I want to congratulate Marvin. Over $1,700, Jerry. That's a nice little payday to come home with from Oyster Bed, so congratulations to him. As the field begins to roll, we see the moon. It's nowhere near full on the back straightaway, so that might be a good sign for us, right?
If the moon is full, we know it's 100% chance of contact. If the moon is not full, well, who knows?
Yeah, exactly.
You got to remember, guys, you're inside the cage. There's going to be contact.
Yeah, you're right. I think Josh nailed it. It is a cage match. We'll see how it works out here very quickly as the drivers take those painstaking slow laps around here. Just looking at the gauges and making sure that the temperatures are where they want them to be and they're set to go.
And a quick update on track conditions. Just looking here, just before the entrance to turn number three, we do have a bit of a speedy dry stain left over from that League of Legends upset, the main event here coming up after it. So just going to keep an eye there on the speedy dry. Looks like the boys got it all cleaned up pretty good, but that's a pretty tricky spot as you're coming off the gas to get into turn number three. There's also a bit of a stain up in the middle of turn number four. And Brad, man, we had drivers confirm your opinion earlier today about that outside groove being the place to be when this one gets fired up.
Well, you really get the grip, and as the race goes on and there's more rubber gets laid down out there, guys, you're really going to see the guys want to move up. They might stay on the bottom early, but with about 50 to go, you'll see them want to move up the racetrack. And when you're coming off, you give the guys some room on the bottom, but the corner is so square that you can't get on the gas right away. So that's why you'll see them go to the high side coming off a four, where they can shove her to the floor and hang on.
Well, I think the other difference, too, was about 27 degrees and sunny this afternoon here at Oyster Bed Speedway when we went through practice and qualifying. The sun's gone down. It's maybe around, I don't know, 19, 20 degrees here on the back straightaway. It's a whole lot different than it was just a couple hours ago. Brad, how is that going to affect the setup of these race cars?
Well, anybody that was loose this afternoon would be in good shape, but if you were really good this afternoon, you better made an adjustment to allow for the track to cool down. That's the scary part. You know, in the afternoon when you're fast, you got to make another adjustment to allow for when the track cools down here at night, and it does make a difference.
Ladies and gentlemen, this time by, let's get to waving and give these drivers a wave. Oh, come on back straight away. I know you can hear me. Give these drivers a wave and salute them. There you go. They're going to wave back at you, saluting you for coming out and supporting them in the Lucas Oil 150 for the Parts for Trucks Pro Stock Tour. Rob Bonus rolls up the green flag next time by. We're going racing. Chris Hughes is still on pit road in car number 82. Team is looking under the right rear of the GMP truck in car number 82. Dylan Cosby in car number 91. And Robbie McEwen in the 40. It's an all-island front row through 3 and 4. The Lucas Oil 150 is green.
They take it green and it's side by side. McEwen with the edge on the outside, but it's going to be Cosby fight back coming off at 32.
Straight away, here they come into turns 3 and 4. Cosby on the bottom, McEwen on the top. They are still door handle to door handle as they come down back into turn 1 and 2. Chris Hughes pops out of here. He's got to get on the gas or he's going to get run over.
Chris Hughes right in front of the leaders as they all come around out of turn number 4. He has stacked them up. Dylan Cosby looks to the inside. Hughes trying to give him the outside lane. That pushes Robbie McEwen.
Chris Hughes is up front, but it's going to be Cosby trying to get by him. Hughes running for all he's worth not to get lapped here early, but that's not going to hold as Cosby looks underneath him down the back.
Hughes up high, Cosby down low, trying to get the kind of lap down behind him. They're all kind of stuck. Here they come. Robbie McEwen on the outside. Inside lane, Wayland Farrell. He's going to go off the 10-2.
And right now it looks like the 48 of Waylon Farrell and the 40 of Robbie McEwen are the corks in the bottle. We got trouble in turn three.
And there's smoke coming off of the 48, probably a tire rub here, whether it's off the 48 or the 29. It looks like Sean Pierce was around there, Jerry.
Yeah, it was a little nasty up in turn three there. It was I saw the 80 of Jamie Stewart up in there, and the 01 was also up in there of...
Troy Burke
there.
Troy Burke, Jamie Stewart up there trying to avoid the spinning 21 of Sean Pierce. And Chris Hughes right in front of the field trying to hold on for dear life and maybe try to get a free pass award here. But Brad mentioned that the 48 of Waylon Farrell used the bumper a little bit to at least get underneath Robbie McEwen. And we saw Waylon run so well here in race number one here at Oyster Bay Speedway. I believe this might be a breakout night for the driver from CBS, the Rookie of the Year from 1 year ago. He's got Frankie Frazier on the call of that one, too. He's got Chris Dingle working on the race car. I think this might be a big night for Waylon Farrell. I didn't get to make my pick, and you guys went in succession as to where I was going to go. So I guess I'll make a late call and go with the 48. How about that?
Well, we'll let that slide, Tim. There's no problem there. Big, big change in Waylon Farrell this year, Tim. You're right. He's been competitive everywhere he's at. Getting the Frasers on the crew has certainly helped. There's a lot of experience there, and people might wonder why Chris Hughes raced so hard, but he did it, so he gets a lucky dog. And, Tim, I believe that put him back on the lead lap, right?
I'm going to double check here with Robbie McLean and just to make sure that that is good to go. But Brad, brand new race car for that team as well this season. How big of a boost can that be to run well in a brand new race car like Whalen has?
It is, and sometimes, oh, Tim, a new race car, you got a lot of bugs to get figured out in it, but it looks like they've figured that one out pretty good. There's some guys with new race cars on the tour that still hasn't got them going good, but it looks like the crew of the 48 team has found what Whalen likes behind the wheel, and he's a young and upcoming star, and he's been doing a great job this season.
You're listening to live coverage of the Lucas Oil 150 from Oyster Bay Speedway, right here on Racetime Radio, presented by Atlantic Tilt Load. We have four laps in the books. We've got a long way to go. We've only just begun, and things are heating up quickly. There's already a few donuts on the side of race cars. We were talking about it in the beginning, and they're already making evidence. So, yeah, I think the contact thing is already starting.
Just double-check with Robbie McLean. The free pass is the 82 of Chris Hughes on that caution flag. So, as Brad mentioned, he fought back of the lead lap, and the 08 of Nicholas Noble returns to the racetrack, and next time by, we're going to let him loose one more time here around Oyster Bed Speedway. Five laps completed.
And you guys, it's really cool here at Oyster Bed. We are literally on top of the action. We've even got cars parked on the back straightaway to watch it here in Champions Row as these cars come back to the green flag. Now, Robbie McEwen, Dylan Gosby on the front row, 20 more lined up behind them on the loud pedal, out of turn four, green flag back in the air.
And it's Gosby going to lead him down into turn one. He's going to get the jump on the back stretch. Robbie McEwen fights back on the outside.
For three and four, they go still side by side. Gosby leading McEwen by half a car length down the front straightaway. Merrill in the mix behind them. Here comes Brett Proud on the outside.
And it's a big garage. Yeah, it's looking for some power on the outside. McEwen will settle in behind Gosby. Proud sticks it up on the outside and look for that dodge to power the outside. Ring around the Oyster Bed.
Greg Proud in that number 29 going to the outside lane, and he is making it work as he gets the nose in front of the 40 of Robbie McEwen as they come around turn three and
trouble,
more trouble again.
Sean Kearse gets turned around going into three, and the yellow is out. There was a couple of cars, Jerry, got together. There were sparks flying off the back wall here. I don't know if it was the 80 and the 21 got together. It was two or three cars. A car sparks coming off the back wall and gets into the side of the 21 and spins around.
And boy, they throw the caution flag quickly. They have to. The speeds on this racetrack, that field is coming really quickly. You can't hesitate because they need the time to get them slowed down.
And there's nowhere to go around this racetrack if something does happen really quickly. I was about to say the 14 car had a great qualifying effort to Terry Duguay, and Terry's hanging with these guys up here in the top five, just outside right now in position, about sixth or so, battling with Sean Turple and Jarrett Butcher. Had a great run going at Petty International Raceway. This is his home turf. Seems like they've really turned the corner with that 14 team. Excited to see what he can do over 150 laps here.
And they did have a great run up at Petty. He was on the pole, Tim, and he stayed there for like 20 laps. Then he ran second for probably 20 or 30 laps. So he had a great showing. And a shout out to the Reed boys. I know you're out west probably sitting on a bar stool somewhere listening to this one. And Curtis, you're back home working on their race cars. So they'll be at the Cat 250. And somebody else that's not here tonight, a big shout-out to Paul Blakehorn, who had a bad fall off the trailer. The first eight laps he ever missed was in Attigonish to watch Dylan race, and tonight will be the first race that Paul doesn't get to as he busted up his ankle pretty good and he's home healing. So shout-out to you, Paul. Looks like the 67 car's got her dialed in, so sit back and enjoy and have a few pops and listen to it live.
And you guys, I had a chance to catch up with Terry Duguay there before we came out for the main event, and I commented on his qualifying effort. I said, look good out there. You were really hanging on. And he said the car was evil in qualifying. He did all he could to be up on the wheel and get that thing to turn. He might be a driver where this car is going to get better with the change in the weather today.
And for those of you who know the usual crew from the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour that come along, we're short a couple of folks tonight for a very, very good reason. And we do want to say congratulations to Casey, one of our favorite servers at Scotia Speed World, her and her sister Dusty. But Casey is getting married today, and so a couple of our folks are attending the wedding, couldn't make it to the racetrack. They had to flip a coin to see which way to go, but, you know, for Casey, there was no question. So congratulations, Casey. Hope you're having an awesome day. You couldn't have picked a better one for a wedding.
Field will double up behind the pace car. Wayne Parker has the field in behind. The 91 of Dylan Gosby lines up alongside the 40 of Robbie McEwen. Greg Proud in third. That big Dodge Power will line up on the inside of the 48 of Waylon Farrell, and the zero of Turpo will dance with Terry Duguay on the outside as Rob Bonus. This time by, we'll show him the rolled up green. We'll have eight laps completed when we go back to green in the Lucas Oil 150. And Dylan Gosby, familiar spot. He was here during the Canada Day 150 up in front of the field. For all you Jonathan Hicken fans, he's sitting back. He's made one spot up, Jerry, in position number 10.
He's got time, and he's not going to push the issue, that's for sure. And as the field heads down the back straightaway, they pick up the pace as they come to turn number 4. Green flag in the air. We're back racing.
And it's Gosby and McEwen going at it, door handle to door handle. Give the edge to Gosby. Comes off, but McEwen fights back on the inside, going into 3.
One more time out of 4, side by side. This field is 2 abreast, about 8 rows deep. Down they fly into turn number 1. Greg Proud really trying hard down low.
And I get the impression Greg Proud would love to get into the high line. He can't do it. Waylon Farrell's got the 48 to his outside. And Proud being forced to run down low. That gives Farrell the advantage. He is up in the third spot as Proud runs forward.
Jonathan Hicken on the outside. Terry Duguay in front of him sideways. Duguay up the racetrack. The 5 of Jonathan Hicken takes him to the inside. He'll pick up one more position. Duguay has lost 3 spots. And now Jared McKinnon to the inside. Up in front. Top 5 single file led by Dylan Gosby.
Now it's Waylon Farrell all over the bump door, bump back bumper. McEwen looking for that spot. He shoves the nose under, coming off a 2, but McEwen will hang on, going down the back stretch.
In the middle of the field, Darren McKinnon running that new driver suit. He's got the 67, got the right one in tow. That tandem is coming through the traffic. They are catching up down the 5 of Jonathan Hicken.
Phil Fowler in that number 11 came all the way from Newfoundland's first pro stock race. He is in danger of going down a lap early as the leaders are already starting to chase him down. Phil Fowler, not slow. The leaders are just that much faster.
Waylon Farrell on the back bumper of Robbie McEwen in a battle for position number 2. Greg Proud able to storm the corners in this big Dodge Power. The 29 car right behind the 48. And Jared Butcher begins to get hungry to the inside of the Dexter Construction Zero car. Battle at pit.
Now it's Jared gets a little sideways. Sean Turbo will take that spot as the single file. And Proud puts the bumper to Farrell coming off the 2, trying to loosen him up.
Lots of action going on around Oyster Bay Speedway. Jared Butcher in the thick of things between the 99 of Craig Slotway, the 0 of Sean Turbo. Turbo likes the high line. Butcher flies down low. Holds up behind the 0 down the back straightaway.
And it's Proud all over the back bumper. Now he loses a little ground up off of 4. He's trying to get that third spot away from Farrell. Farrell, meanwhile, he's all over the back bumper of the 40, and McEwen trying to take that spot away as they go bumper to bumper, second through fifth here.
In sixth spot, the number 54, Jared Butcher. Remember, Jared running a borrowed motor from there. His brother Cole's number 53 car, they had to change that after practice, and he's got a bumper full. The 99 of Craig Slomwhite and the 5 of Jonathan Hicken. They are running 6, 7, and 8.
Waylon Farrell looks racy on the back bumper. The 40 of Robbie McEwen just got out, gave him a little touch. That time in corners number 1 and 2. The 48 car has something for this field here this evening. Working the back bumper, the Island Auto Supply number 40. 2 lengths back from your leader, Dylan Gosby.
John Turple is caught onto the bumper of the big red Dodge with Proud, and he's looking to get around him. Where did Turple come from? He's trying to get underneath the 29 of Proud to take that 4 spot out, and he'll stick it down on the inside, coming off the 2.
Remember at the beginning, the crew was wrenching on the 82 of Chris Hughes' car. He came out just in time to make the field. Well, he's coming through the traffic. He's on the back bumper on the number 8 of Kent Vincent down the back straightaway. In his windshield, all he reads is I Heart Inside Potato. And Chris Hughes trying to find a way around the 8 car.
And then Sean Turbo tries to get some ground on the 29. He loses a little bit of grip coming off a 4. Crowd fights back on the outside to hang on that spot. But it's bumper to bumper, the top 10 single file.
And don't look now, but the 67 of Dylan Blankhorn is inside the top 10. He just got around the 18 of Darren McKinnon to take over 9th spot. Right in front of him, the 5 of Jonathan Hicken. And in front of him, the 99 of Slotwhite. But now it's Hicken on the move, close to the outside as they come out of 4, trying to get that spot away from Slotwhite.
Higgins been working that outside line for the last few laps. He's able to get to the right rear corner, but not able to advance his position at all. But Reynolds Wells, in number five, up on that outside line, trying to make something happen. It's a conga line all the way back up to position number four. Greg Crowd has Sean Turple taking a seat to the inside, working over that big red Dodge.
You could put a blanket over 4 through 10. They're just all jammed up, bumper to bumper. One little move here, and somebody's going to get shifted up on the outside. Here comes Turple under nine, under the 29 of Crowd. The Crowd pulls him off the corner.
This time across the line, lap 29 up on the board. 30 is coming. Up in front is the 91 of Dylan Crosby, chased by the 40 of Robbie McEwen, and the 40 of Jalen Carroll. 29, Greg Crowd running in fourth, and the zero car of Sean Turple. Jared Butcher is sixth. The 99 is Craig Slonwhite. Five car, Jonathan Hicken. 67, Dylan Langford. And the 18, Darren McKinnon. They come to the top 10.
What a run by the Robbie McEwen to be all over the back bumper. He hasn't let Gosby out of his sight since the green flag drop. He's right there, like 2 inches off the bumper. He continues to haunt 91 of Gosby.
And the second half of the field in 11th spot, the number 14 of Terry Duguay, who is having a great night. In behind him, the 80 Ken Vincent. Then the 82 of Chris Hughes, the 21 of Sean Pierce. On the move is Burke in the 0-1. That is the 42 of Andrew Rogers, the 81 of Nevin Scott, and the 0-8 of Nicholas Noggle.
The 40 car of Robbie McHugh was able to reel in the 91 of Gosby through some lap traffic. They put Jamie Stewart in the 11 of Phil Fowler a lap down, but Robbie McEwen now able to keep lockstep with the 91 of Dylan Gosby, who 4 lengths back all by himself. This wave of Carroll and then that battle from 4th all the way back to 10th. Darren McKinnon picks up a spot on Dylan Blankhorn. Deshaw's coming 18. Is on the move and just in front of them. Jonathan Higgins flashes the nose to the inside of the 99 of Craig Slonwhite.
And there's a caution as we've got the 0-2 spun around here in turn 3 and 4. Everybody gets woed up, so it's a single car spinner. I think it's the 11 of Phil Fowler, actually. But what a run for the 40 car, Robbie McEwen. This is a small budget team that goes to 2 or 3 races. This kid can really drive, just doesn't have the funds to get everywhere. And what a night he's having. He's been all over the back bumper of Gosby. And just before that caution came out, he was putting the nose under Gosby, looking to take the inside lane up, coming off a two up here. So what a run for the 40 car.
And with 34 laps complete, we're going to take a quick break on Racetime Radio. Don't go away. We'll be right back with more of the Lucas Oil 150 presented by Atlanta Tilt Load.
Hey, race fans, this is Ernie Irvin. You're listening to Racetime Radio.
Sun is hot and that old clock is moving slow.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by Atlantic Tilt Load, specialist in the transportation of industrial equipment across Canada and the U.S. Also by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of Racetime Radio in Nova Scotia.
Don't get stuck waiting for your machinery and materials to be moved. Call Atlantic Tilt Load in Dartmouth or St. John to ask about 24-hour hotshot service. They have the equipment, drivers, and experience to get your cargo where it needs to be swiftly and efficiently. Can provide logistics planning, including escort vehicles and special move permits. They've been moving heavy industrial equipment throughout Canada and the U.S. since 1991, including overweight and over-dimensional shipments. For your next industrial heavy move, call Atlantic Tilt Load.
It's Canada's biggest NASCAR event of the year, the Chevrolet Silverado 250, August 23rd to 25th at Canadian Tire Motorsport Park, featuring the only NASCAR playoff race north of the border and a weekend of off-track fun you won't want to miss. Come for the day or camp for the weekend. The Chevrolet Silverado 250, August 23rd to 25th. Tickets and info at CanadianTireMotorsportPark.com.
It's one of the toughest, most prestigious races to win in Canadian Super Late Model Racing.
Are you clear? You're clear? You're clear?
Saturday, August 10th. Pre-race coverage begins at 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us for live flag-to-flag coverage of the 20th annual Tourmont Cup 250. is Speed World in Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada. Featuring the stars of the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour. It's the 20th annual Tourmont Cat 250, Saturday, August 10th.
All right, buddy, I'm safe. One. Keep her in one piece.
For race tickets and info, get to scotiaspeedworld.ca and join us live on Racetime Radio.
Taking you all the way to the track and back.
And we are back at Oyster Bed Speedway. I'm Jerry Paxton here on Racetime Radio, bringing you live coverage of the Lucas Oil 150, presented by Atlantic Tilt Load. We have 34 laps in the books, so we are just getting over a caution flag. We've had a couple of spins here tonight. I don't know if that's indicative of track conditions or not, Brad, man.
No, it's not, Jerry. It's been near the back of the field. One of them bounced, car bounced off the wall and just collected Sean Pierce. And the last spin was Mule Father's first time he's been in pro stock, so he just sort of spun on his own. So I don't think we've seen anything yet, Jerry, but these guys are racing bumper to bumper. I mean, the competition's tight, and you're nothing to have to work 10 laps to get an edge on somebody here, but you can put a blanket over the top 10 and maybe put 2 inches between the cars. It's some race.
Well, the action has been fast and furious, and we haven't even really gotten into it yet. We are 34 laps complete out of 150 as they bring it around out of turn number four. The green flag back in the air. We're back racing.
Gosby and McCune side by side, rolling through one, coming off of two. Give the advantage to McCune this time on the outside. He's looking to take that spot away. He'll edge him back to the line, give the first place to Robbie McCune. The 40 car takes the lead away from Gosby.
The drag race is won off of turn four. Here they come again down the back chute. McEwen made the move that he needed. He pulls down in front of the 91, Dylan Gosby. They're still side by side for third. Waylon Farrell down low. Greg Proud up high. Behind them at the 0 of Turbo. And the 54 turn. What do you get to run off of turn two?
Greg Proud puts that big red Dodge on the high side of turns three and four as he tries to run out away from Wayland Farrell. He makes it in front of him as they come to one and two. Farrell fighting on the bottom, but he's not going to get the 29 of Proud. Farrell falls back to fourth.
Turbo's been taking a look the last couple laps to the inside of the 48 of Farrell, but can't do anything with him. The 54 of Jared Butcher hops to the outside, trying to follow Greg Proud around. Wayland Farrell, Turbo there as well. Top two have broken away from this battle for third, and it's a war led by Greg Proud.
I told you in the early show, the outside had come in, and that's where these cars are making some trip as they really haul off turn four up on that outside lane.
Well, in the driver interviews, Dylan Gosby said he wasn't going to run side by side, but I don't think he thought he'd be running second. Robbie McEwen's pulled away by about a car length. Gosby now coming after him. And Greg Proud, what a run off of two that time. He's cleared the 48 of Waylon Farrell. The big red Dodge is on the move.
Farrell will settle in behind the 29 Dodge, and he's going to fight back on the outside. And it's Sean Turple just sitting in behind along with Slonway, the 54, Jared Butcher up on the outside looking to make some headway now.
And you can watch the strategy starting to play out. Drivers being very careful about where they go. They've seen the contact. They don't want to get splattered. Watching what they do. And as I say it, Jonathan Hicken gets into the back end of Dylan Blakehorn and turns him. And we've got a big pile up in turn three.
Oh, no. Looks like Terry Duguay was last man in. Chris Hughes is up on two wheels. But I can't see for sure, but that may be the 21 of Sean Pierce. Looks like, yes, it is. That is the third man in on the outside, and he is all crunched up.
And Troy Burke
actually,
is off.
Looks like he's driving off. That left rear quarter panel doesn't look as bad as I thought.
The 0-1 of Troy Burke, he's headed off to the pits. He's badly bent off that car.
Yeah, the 67 of Dylan Blancourt headed there too. And Jerry, it almost looked like a chain reaction wreck there. The 21 of Sean Pierce also going down, and it's just a product of this racetrack. Everybody's trying to get in. At the same time, Chris Hughes dragging a lot of sheet metal on that 82 car down onto pit road, but it almost looked like the 67 of Dylan Blancourt trying to dive underneath the 54 of Jared Butcher. Jonathan Hicken was right on his bumper. Jonathan was committed to the back bumper of that 67, and when Dylan Blancourt kind of checked up, saw that 54 right ahead of him, calamity ensued, and here we are on lap number 43 with two of your point leaders on this series getting racy and getting involved in it.
Well, points are so important, Tim, and there's no giving and going. It's so hard. These cars are so close, so hard to get around a guy. So when you got an opportunity, you're going to shove the nose in there, try to take that spot away, because it might take you 10 or 15 laps to get around. The competition's that close. But what about a run by the 40 car, Robbie McEwen? Probably the smallest budget team here. Shows up for a couple of races, and I had a long chat with them in the pit earlier today, and they're just some guys that want to go racing. They spent all winter getting the hauler fixed. The head gasket gone on the hauler and the GM diesel. They had to get that fixed. So they're hoping to be at the Cat 250 next week if they get out of tonight in one piece. So he's certainly having a good night so far.
And it looks like the driver that got the worst of that mess down in turn number three is the 82 of Chris Hughes. We see them bringing the truck in, the tow truck in to pick him up.
That's the 14.
Was that the 14?
The 82 is in his pit. That's Chris Hughes. That's okay. Terry Duguay over there in corner number three.
And guys, I don't know what you can see from the front chute, but here on the back, that car is peeled back from the left rear all the way to the front. They're having a little issue getting the hood off now. It's a little bit bent up. But we could see right into the cage and see Terry Duguay inside the car. That whole body panel is missing. And the officials right now in the window talking to Terry, seeing how he's feeling. That was a hard hit in turn three.
That's the last thing Terry Doogie needed, Jerry. That's another low-budget team and just the wrong place the wrong time and gets collected in a mess, and that looks like some serious frame damage in the front end.
And we brought the field to a halt on the back straightaway as they work to get the number 14 of Terry Duguay onto the hook.
So, Jerry, I don't see the 67 and I don't see the 5 on the racetrack, so both of them teams must have went to the pit to make adjustments and can't like what they were feeling so far.
Well, the 67 car we just looked down, he is no longer in his pit. I'm not sure.
Oh, he's just rolling out here.
Yeah. And the 5 is up on the bank in turn 2. The 08 car, Nicholas Noggle, is on pit road, and the 80 of Jamie Stewart, they're in the window of Stewart's car trying to assess the damage there. It looks like Jamie will rejoin the field. That 82 car, Chris Hughes, they've got people on all four corners of that Subaru of Moncton Tops. The floor is number 82. It looks like they're paying special attention, Jerry, to the potentially right rear of that race car.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, is they're on the right rear. I'm watching the 8 of Kent Vincent. That team is hard at it down here in the pit. They're working on the right rear of that car. Looks like they're trying to pry some sheet metal off the wheels on that one. So tough break for Kent Vincent again tonight with that race car.
So we got the 5 and the 67 side by side here just under me off of turn 1 and 2, and both of the bodies and them race cars look good. Doesn't look like any damage, so I would say they made a pit stop to do some adjustments and maybe didn't like the chassis under them at the point of giving them an opportunity to dip in. There's only 43 laps to go gone here, so they got lots of time to come back up through it.
It's a hard track to pass on, Brad. I want to ask you, because we saw Cole Butcher last year, I believe, in 78 laps from the start of the race, come to the front of the field. How difficult is it going to be for those two drivers who have won features already this season? Obviously, Jonathan Higgins won here earlier this year to get back to the front of the field, knowing how well Robbie and Dylan are running up front.
Well, they can get back to the front of the field to the top two, but getting around the top two might be a different story, so these two got pretty good handling race cars, and you'll probably see them go bumper to bumper coming up through the field. So but when you get to the front, or you get to the front six or seven cars, as you get up near the front, it gets harder to pass, Tim, because you're getting up to the better cars. So, and when you're way back here, you also take the chance of getting caught in something that was none of your doing. I mean, two cars spin in front of you here. You got nowhere to go. You could be an innocent bystander and have your night done.
All right, Tower, you'd have to do the left side of the race car, but I just walked the back straightaway here. I'm having a little fun, kind of like at Bristol. I'm on donut watch, and I can tell you that right now three cars have some really good marks so far on the right side of the car. In third place, the 91 of Dylan Gosby, and I'm talking third place for his donut. He's running second on the racetrack. A little bit of a mark through the number, but as you go through the field, the 48 Waylon Farrell, he's got two. You go to the back of the field, Andrew Rogers, he's got two deep black real good impressions of racing wheels on the right side of the race car. So from my side of the track, Andrew Rogers has got the biggest donut so far. What's it look like on the left side?
Jerry, I think your eyes are better than mine, but most of these cars look relatively clean. The 18 at Darren McKinnon's got a donut up the side of the 8, but other than that, this side of the racetrack looks fairly clean for tire marks, at least on the side. But you're going to use that right side up a little bit if you're on the inside, right?
That would be true. It would be the right side that would be making the contact. So that, although I'm trying to think how they could get a mark on the right side, it would have to be somebody else's left side.
It would have to be. But I don't see a ton of marks here. But then again, there's a couple of dark spots back there that we might not be able to see. But there is definitely a sizable one on the Shaw's towing number 18 on the side.
Well, get out the binoculars, Tim. See if there's any tires there. You can no longer read the word Hoosier.
Yeah, Josh is getting technical now.
Isn't he?
Oh,
wow. Do you want us to read the serial number to you as well?
Yeah, just make sure the car got the right tires on.
If it says Goodyear, send it back.
Yeah, Goodyear is not a good word to add on them tonight. Back when we started racing Pro Stock Racing, we used to run Goodyears over in Fredericton.
And the field is back in motion. We are back under yellow here at Oyster Bay Speedway. The Lucas Oil 150, we are 43 laps on the board. And we just had a multi-car incident up in turn number 3. We've got that all cleared up. There are a couple of drivers still back working on cars in the pit. But Jonathan Hicken, Dylan Blankhorn, they're both back out. And it looks like they're going to continue on after that little mix up. But boy, that kind of mixed up the field too. There were some guys really starting to come through that now we're going to have to go to the back again and start it all over. But we do have a very stout field, and it is led right now by the number 40 of Robbie McEwen. He is the leader as they come getting him set to go back to green. The number 91, Dylan Gosby, runs in second. 49, Greg Proud is third. Then it's the 48 of Waylon Farrell running the top five. The 0 of Sean Turple. The 99 of Craig Slonwhite is running in sixth spot. Behind him, the 54 is Jarrett Butcher. 18 of Darren McKinnon. Then the 81 of Nevin Scott. The 42, Andrew Rogers. The 5 of Jonathan Hicken. 67, Dylan Blankhorn. 80 of Jamie Stewart. The 08 of Nicholas Noggle. Those are the cars still on the racetrack. And we've lost a few guys along the way here. We'll see if they can make it back out. Have a quick peek around the corner, and ooh, not good. Looks like they're... I just looked over and saw the tow truck, and they're still working on Terry Duguay's car, so we're not even going to talk about that.
Yeah, I can see the 82 team still going to work. The 07 of Allison McKinnon, the looks like the 01 of Troy Burke, the 8 of Kent Vincent returning to the racetrack. Jamie Stewart, Nicholas Noggle back on track as well, and next time by, we'll let them loose. Wayne Parker will pull the pace car onto pit road. 44 laps completed when we go back to green this time. The 91 of Dylan Gosby to the inside. Your leader, Robbie McEwen, chose the outside. The Ryerson Construction number 40 as they round corners number 3 and 4. The Lucas Oil 150 set to come back to green. Robbie McEwen on the outside leads him down to the wall.
It's McEwen and Gosby going at it door handle, door handle. McEwen had chose the outside. They'll go at it side by side down the back stretch. It'll be interesting to see what McEwen has coming off of 4. And that's where he gets the big grip. Meanwhile, Gosby's still hanging tight there on the left rear quarter panel. McEwen's going to have to work hard at it again. Gosby doesn't want to give up the spot.
Gosby gave McEwen a lot of room coming off, too. He was really hugging that lower line and did not help him out. Robbie McEwen drives around on the outside. He'll clear the 91. Good lead down the line straight away. Not over there, raging on. Greg Proud down low. Here comes Waylon Farrell on the high side. He gets the nose in front as they go down the front.
Greg Slonwhite in the number 99 now starting to go to work. And he is on the outside of Sean Turple's 0 car. And that is a battle for fifth position right now as Turple and Slonwhite side by side.
Up in front, Robbie McEwen continues to hold the lead. The 91 of Gosby, but a half car length behind. And it's side by side for third. Farrell on the upside, Proud on the inside. Side by side behind them. Slonwhite on the upside, Turple on the inside. And then Jarrett Butcher waiting there as well. Dylan Blankhorn begins to march his way back through the field. He's on the outside of the 18. And Darren McKinnon just inside the top 10.
And the 29 of Proud put the bumper to the 48 coming off of turn 2. Tried to loosen up to get that spot. Farrell still hangs on to that third spot up outside, but Proud fights hard back on the bottom, trying to take that away from him.
Sean Turple has had his hands full in that 0 car, battling hard, trying to dive down in the lower lane. Car keeps coming around behind him, and he's had a couple of knocks. And the 54 Jarrett Butcher, one more time for turn number 2. 0 car, hands on the wheel, racing down low into turn number 3 side. by side with the 99 is swung right down the front straightaway.
And it's Blakehorn now on the move on the outside. Jared Butcher gets into the 99 there, Rob. And it's the 67 of Blakehorn putting, looking to go up the high side. They'll go at a door handle. The door handle is McKinnon and Blakehorn as they roll on down into turn one.
And it's interesting to watch them right now as they work their way around the racetrack. Everybody's going high as they go down to three and four. They'll all snake their way down to the bottom in one and two. They know the tight, fast way around one and two is on the bottom. On three and four, give her all you've got up high. That seems to be working, and now everybody's trying to chase the line.
Give a call out to Andrew Rogers in the 42 as well. He's on the back end of this little battle just outside the top 10. Currently running in position number two is Andrew Rogers. It's got Darren McKinnon, Dylan Blakehorn, and the 54 of Jared Butcher on his front bumper. Greg Proud, first side-by-side battle at the front of the field. He's got Sean Turple working to the inside. That's the construction hero. That's the battle report down the back straightaway.
And it's the 48 of Farrell. He's caught the back bumper of Gosby. Where did he come from all of a sudden? It's a top three. Put a blanket over them as McCune continues to lead here on lap 57.
Sean Turple in that zero car is the only guy making it work down low. He cleared the 29 of Proud that time. Got a little bit of the help with the 99 of Greg Slonway out of turn number four. And Sean Turple is up to fourth. 99 comes from the 29 car. Greg Proud back to sixth position.
Finally, it's the 5 car. Jonathan Hicken clears the back, and he gets his sight set now to chase down the top front. As it took some time for him to get through traffic, but he's working his way up to try to catch the tail end of these leaders. McHugh continues to lead up front, put a blanket over McHugh, Gosby, Farrell, 48. Careful sitting back and forth.
Greg Brown, the number 29, has been falling back since that battle with Sean Turple. Really have been contact that have knocked something around on that 29. He is losing speed now to the 67. Dylan Blakehorn opening up a lane down low. Down the front straightaway, Blakehorn gains the advantage on Brown down to the turn 22.
And Blakehorn may be warming up the right and left side tires of Greg Brown's number 29. There is some big backlash on fuel and the exhaust of that one. It is lighting up the inside of the 29 car. Great Proud decided to back out a little and let Blakehorn go.
Proud drifts up the racetrack one more time. Let's Blakehorn go. The 99 of Slonway caught on the heels of the zero car of Sean Turple. Turple in for Slonway, pounding him. The top three have broken away a little bit. Waylon Farrell starting to reel in the 91 of Dylan Gosby. Three lengths behind number 40.
That's up on the back chute. The hood came off the 01 of Troy Burke. We were watching it, Tim, as you were talking about breaking up. It was breaking off the race car. And it came up like a wing out of turn number two, dropped down just in front of the leaders. The caution flag is quick to fly.
It's the door panel off of the 01 flew off right in front of me here, coming out of turn two, so that's what brought out the caution.
And so we'll take a quick break here on Racetime Radio, and we'll be right back with more of the Lucas Oil 150, brought to you by Atlantic Tiltload, live from Oyster Bed Speedway.
I'm John Roberts. You're listening to Racetime Radio.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
It's one of the toughest, most prestigious races to win in Canadian Super Late Model Racing.
You're clear.
Saturday, August 10th. Pre-race coverage begins at 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us for live flag-to-flag coverage of the 20th annual Tourmont Cat 250 under the lights at Scotia Speed World in Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada. Featuring the stars of the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour. It's the 20th annual Tourmont Cat 250, Saturday, August 10th.
All right, buddy, I'm safe. Keep her in one piece.
For race tickets and info, get to scotiaspeedworld.ca and join us live on Racetime Radio.
It's Canada's biggest NASCAR event of the year, the Chevrolet Silverado 250, August 23rd to 25th at Canadian Tire Motorsport Park, featuring the only NASCAR playoff race north of the border and a weekend of off-track fun you won't want to miss. Come for the day or camp for the weekend. The Chevrolet Silverado 250, August 23rd to 25th. Tickets and info at CanadianTireMotorsportPark.com.
Don't get stuck waiting for your machinery and materials to be moved. Call Atlantic Tilt Load in Dartmouth or St. John to ask about 24-hour hotshot service. They have the equipment, drivers, and experience to get your cargo where it needs to be swiftly and efficiently. Can provide logistics planning, including escort vehicles and special move permits. They've been moving heavy industrial equipment throughout Canada and the U.S. since 1991, including overweight and overdose. For your next industrial heavy move, call.
And we are back live on Race Time Radio. Green flag is down. We're back racing as we are down the back straightaway. Robbie McEwen, the number 40 car, out in front.
And it's McEwen takes the lead, but no look now. Turnbull sticks it up on the outside. He wants to take that spot away from Farrell, and he's going to do so. Purple to third. Now it's the Gosby all over the back bumper, and McEwen trying to take the lead away from him. McEwen gets good grip up off of Moore. Gosby closes in, coming off of two. McEwen to pull him down the back stretch.
Coming around on a turn number four this time. Lap 68 goes up on the scoreboard. Rodney McEwen leads the way in the number 40. Followed by the 91 of Dylan Gosby. The zero of Sean Turnbull. 48 is way in the barrel. 67 Dylan Blackhorn is into the top five. And it's the 99 of Craig Slonway. 54 Jared Butcher with his hands full. Here comes the 29 of Greg Proud behind him. It's the 42 of Andrew Rogers. The 18 of Darren McKinnon. Then we find the 5 of Jonathan Hicken and the 8 car of Kent Vincent.
And Blakehorn will take over the 4 spot as he takes it away from Farrell. The 67 of Blakehorn on the move. P4 for the 67. Farrell settled in behind him. Spawn waits all over the back bumper. And it's Jared Butcher getting around the 29 of Proud to take that spot away.
The 91 of Dylan Gosby keeping Robbie McEwen honest up in front, but they better not look back now. Turple getting bigger in the rearview mirror. The Municipal Group, number 0, coming to party and looking to get that island victory. That car looks stout. Blakehorn closing into court and Slaughter right up on the wheel. Battling with Farrell for position number 5 here as we close in on 73 laps completed.
It's going to be McEwen with about a 2-car lead over Gosby, but Turple's all over the back bumper of the 91. Looking to take that spot. It's Blakehorn, another car lead back as he closes in on the top 3. Farrell slides back to 5th. Slonwade all over his back bumper for that 6th. And Jared Butcher's moved into the 7th spot.
And the battle looks like it's really starting to shape up front as we come to 75 laps. We are halfway in the Lucas Oil 150. Robbie McEwen, the number 40, leads the way with the 91 of Dylan Gosby in pursuit. Right behind him, the 0 of Turple, the 67 of Blakehorn, as the front 4 lead that pack.
The most intriguing battle on this racetrack right now is Craig Slaughterway in that 99, going high, going low, trying to get around weightless Farrell in the 48. Farrell seems to hold off every single challenge so far, but Slaughterway might have him here. Drag race across the stripe. Slaughterway takes that fifth place position, but that 48 of weightless Farrell teaming with him. And oh, by the way, here comes Black Betty to the inside. Blakehorn looking for third.
Blakehorn under the inside of Sean Turple. They'll go door handle to door handle down the front stretch. Blakehorn on the bottom, Turple on the top. They're dead even off of 2.
Down into 3 and 4. Blakehorn smokes the right rear. Here they come down the front straightaway. Blakehorn pulls ahead by a nose. Turple giving chase on the outside through 1 and 2. Door to door, they'll hit the back chute. Blakehorn pedal down. Little takes the spot down into 3 and 4. Dylan Blakehorn is up to 3rd.
Now it's Blakehorn settling in 3rd. Turple will chase him, but Slonwade is on the chase. He's all the way up to 5th. He wants that 4 spot. Jared Butcher all over the back bumper. The 48 of Farrell looking to take that spot. There's races everywhere through this field.
Beginning to move is Jonathan Hicken, the 5 car, is past that halfway point and is has now passed Greg Proud in the 29, closing in now on the 18 of Darren McKinnon. Jonathan Hicken right now running in position number 9. He's got a ways to go, but the Chapman Brothers construction number 5 seems to be coming to light here in the second half.
Just having a plate corner shot the back bumper of Gosby. He looks underneath them. They go down the front straightaway side by side. Blakehorn rolls up on the back bumper. Gosby shuts the door. Blakehorn looking to go under him on the back stretch.
This was the first lap completed that I've seen in the Lucas Oil 150 where they were single file. It's not going to last very long. Here comes Dylan Blakehorn, the battle for second. This time he tries the outside, but nothing to happen. Dylan Gosby throws the block. Gosby touches the bottom now in 3 and 4. Blakehorn tries the outside again, but Gosby pops back up to the outside. What a battle for second.
And the guy loving this is the 40 of McCune as he pulls away as these two are going at it behind him. McCune loves what he's seeing in the mirror as he opens up a 5-car lead over the second, third spot, and it's let Sean Turbo catch up to the back bumper of Blakehorn.
Another battle forming a couple positions. Back 18 of Darren McKinnon was on a run, but he'll give up position now. The 5-car. Jonathan Hicken slides by on the inside in turn number 4. Hicken picks up another spot as he runs around the 18. Next in line will be the 54 of Jared Butcher.
Great little battle in behind him. The 29er Greg Proud to the upside. The 8-car of Kent Vincent to the inside. 5-car around Jonathan Hicken off corner number 4. And he will get the caution flag. Yellow flag is out for the 5 at Jonathan Hicken as he was battling hard for what would be position number 8.
Jonathan Hicken was working at it really hard, and I think there may have been a little contact with the 18 of McKinnon. I'm not 100% on that one. I know they were racing for position, and all of a sudden Hicken got turned to the infield.
How about the battle for that second spot? Gosby and Blakehorn going at it, and the 40 car, Robbie McEwen, had to love seeing that as he got to open up about a 6-7 car length lead there, boys. As the second, third place were really going at it, inside, outside. Blakehorn just looking for some way to get around, but 91 holding on tight.
And now the question is it going to be a battle for second spot, or are we going to see a battle for the lead once again between McEwen and the 91 at Gosby? And, of course, Dylan Blakehorn in there, that's going to make it really interesting.
This almost reminds me of the way this race played out last year. You had Chris Hughes and Braden Langell up in front, led a pile of laps early in that race, and then the second half came up, and Cole Butcher ended up dominating to the end. Obviously, he and Dylan Blakehorn at the end went back and forth, but Cole Butcher was able to get up there. We had two guys looking for their first win on the tour. In this race, we have Robbie McEwen, who's looking for his first win on the tour. We have Gosby, who's looking for his first win in 5-6 years on the series. And then you got a guy like Dylan Blakehorn, who's storming his way back up to the front and has won here before. But, Jerry, I know you got a kind of a puzzled look on your face looking at the 5. It's yet to fire on the front straightaway.
Jonathan Hicken has not refired the race car. The tow truck is now pulling in to check on him and see what the story is. But I was looking at that left front wheel, and I'm not sure. I think he broke something in that car. Maybe when maybe that's what caused the spin. Maybe it happened after he hit it. But the left front wheel is now leaning out a bit and turned to the right, and I can't see the right front to know if it's maybe aiming straight. Josh, you may have a view of that. I'm not sure.
Pretty far out in a shadow. The right front does look like it's turned a little bit to the right. The tow truck now giving 5 of Hicken a push.
Okay,
and
just
it's refired. He's coming back.
It was just the way it was sitting in the grass.
I'm not sure. That happened really quick and a bit of a shadow for me down in turn number 4, but it looked a little like a block gone wrong. I think the 5 car, who had cleared the 18, maybe saw Darren McKinnon coming with a run and tried to move into the lane, and maybe just a little too quick for a little bit of contact sent him the wrong direction there on the front straightaway.
All right, we've got 87 laps up on the board. It's time for a full field rundown. So let's try and do this quickly before we get back racing. Robbie McEwen, that number 40, is the leader of the race at this moment. Behind him, the 91 of Dylan Gosby. The 67 of Dylan Blakehorn has worked up into third. In fourth spot, the 0 of Sean Turple. Rounding at the top 5, the 99 of Craig Slonwhite. Then the 48 of Waylon Farrell. The 54, Jarrett Butcher. 18, Darren McKinnon. The number 8 of Kent Vincent. The number 42 of Andrew Rogers. The 08, Nicholas Noggle. The 81 of Devin Scott. 07, Allison McKinnon. The 01 of Troy Burke. And then the 80 of Jamie Stewart, the 5 Jonathan Hicken, the 82 Chris Hughes, and the 21 of Sean Pierce.
And the 29 of Greg Proud joining us in the back of the field. He was down on pit road on that caution flag, had to surrender 10th place, but he was falling back on that run, so maybe they threw the kitchen sink at it one more time, and we'll see what happens here as Rob Bonus looks towards pit road, likes what he sees, rolled up green. Next time by, we'll get back at it with 88 laps completed in this Lucas Oil 150.
And this is going to be a very interesting restart. Let's watch that 67 of Dylan Blankhorn. I think the 91 of Gosby may get some help through the corner. Robbie McEwen has chosen the outside lane as they bring it around out of 3 and 4. Onto the loud pedal as the green flag comes out. We go back racing.
Door handle to door handle. Gosby, McEwen. McEwen up on the outside. Close a little bit. Gosby fights back in the middle. Battle going on for that third spot between Turple and the 67 of Blankhorn. McEwen pulls down the front. He'll take the lead away, but Gosby's going to fight back. Give the lead to McEwen going down the back stretch.
Turple had the advantage on Blankhorn on the outside. Now a little rub there in the middle of 3 and 4. Reels him back in. 67-0, door to door through 1 and 2. Turple giving up the lead. Blankhorn fights on the inside.
And we have seen this before, the 67 of Dylan Blankhorn usually has to run a few laps and then it'll come to life. And it looks like that's what he's trying to do now, is just wait it out, holding off the charge of the zero of Turple as they went door to door down the back straightaway, chasing the 91 of Gosby and the 40 of Robbie McEwen.
The 54 of Jared Butcher was looking at the 99 of Swan White for position number 5, but now falls back into the clutches of Waylon Farrell. How about Ken Dixon coming to life here in the 8th? And Hampton looking to the inside of the 48 of Farrell, just outside the top 5, as Dylan Gosby shadowing the 40 of Robbie McEwen. 93 laps completed.
Now it's Blankhorn going to take that third spot away from Turple and there'll be single foul. Third through 6 as Blankhorn settles in the third. Up front, Gosby's been all over the back bumper. McEwen on this restart, not letting him get away from him. And it's about a car length of the difference between McEwen and Gosby up front.
Dylan Gosby knows it's go time as the other Dylan Blankhorn is up to third, about 3 car lengths behind and closing in. Gosby one more time up to that left field corner panel on the 40 car, chasing him down the back into 3 and 4, and McEwen will drive off in what a little bit of distance, surviving another lap.
Up front, it's going to be McEwen still leading Gosby by 2 car lengths. Blankhorn about 3 back. Turple a lap behind him. Swanwick slides into the 5th position. Jared is in 6th. And Kent Vinson now making some moves up through.
Jared Butcher, he's getting a couple of warning shots with the 99 and Craig Swanwick. The last couple of laps by, but hasn't been able to get Craig off that inside line. A little more of a shot there that time in turn 2. In turn 3, the 54 to the back bumper, the 99 gets some sideways, but can't get to the inside.
And about a lap ago, the 42, Andrew Rogers down the front straightaway. Big spark show went off the ramp into the pits as he spun to the inside. The racing continues because he's off a wild ride for the 42.
Up in front, it's still the 40 of Robbie McEwen. He's got a couple of car lengths on the 91 of Dylan Gosby as they race down the back straightaway into 3 and 4, and it's down to a half a car length. And now in turns 1 and 2, Gosby right to the bumper of McEwen, who will drive it away as he goes down that back straightaway again.
And it looks like it takes the 67 about 10 laps to get settled in. As he closes the gap and sets his third, about 2 car lengths back to Gosby. Turple, another couple of car lengths back. The real battle out here is for 5th. Jared Butcher is all over the 99 of Swanwick.
And it looks like Craig Swanwick is doing a little defensive driving, trying to hold off the charge of Jared Butcher, and that is allowing the front 4 to simply drive away.
As Robbie McEwen leads the way out of turn 4 this time, 105 as the laps up on the scoreboard. McEwen in the lead, followed by the 91 of Dylan Gosby. Then 67 lane, going to the 0 of Sean Turple. That's the front 4. The next pack is led by the 99 of Craig Slonwhite. He's followed by 54 Jared Butcher. And a side-by-side battle, the 8 car Ken Vincent, the 18 of Aaron McKinnon. 48 Van Farrell rounds out the top 10. Checking by the 5 car, Jonathan Hicken, back to where he started, running 11. He's followed by the 08 of Bogle, the 29 of Craig Proud, the 81. Kevin Scott and the 21 of Sean Pierce.
As they put a lap on the 82, Chris Hughes and Daniel Racecar just logging some laps. The leaders go by. They're coming up on some more lap cars. They'll be coming up on the lap car of Rogers. The top three can put a blanket over them.
As this run goes on, Robbie McEwen's car continues to get better. It's about two lengths back to the 91 of Gosby. Gosby under fire from the 67 of Dylan Blankhorn. Then a little bit of separation back to the zero and back to the 99 of Swanwick. Swanwick's been able to pull away from the 54 of Butcher. Looks like Jonathan Hicken picks up one more spot on Waylon Farrell. That battle in front of him has subsided for the time being. Darren McKinnon and Kent Vincent nose to tail. Yellow flag is out.
And the 29 of Craig Proud is on the infield. Looks like he's spun down in there. I don't know if he went alone or do you see what happened there?
Looks like he went alone. I didn't see anything out there. I think he just lost it going into the corner.
No apparent damage on the car. So
from my vantage point, guys, I was watching turns 3 and 4, and out of my left eye, I saw the 29 hop off the back straightaway, get sideways facing the front chute, and just power glide through the grass towards turn number 4 before coming to a stop. Not sure how he got out of line that way, but it was pretty exciting for a moment.
And he's headed off to the pits now, along with the 48 of Waylon Farrell. As we said, Farrell's car started to fall off. He wasn't too happy about it. Proud back to his pit, and they've got the jack stands out going to the left rear.
So you remember in the post-race talk that we had, or I think it was Josh talked to the 91 and said, well, if it's late in the race this time and I have to be aggressive, I'm going to be aggressive. So how long does he wait, guys?
I think he's still got some laps to go here, and we've seen this racetrack bring some cautions at the end of these events, and we've seen a few cautions scattered out throughout this Lucas Oil 150. I think you can wait a little bit if you're Dylan Gosby, but you have to be close enough to make that move, and we've seen once we get 10, 15 laps into this run, Robbie McEwen's car continues to get a little bit better than the rest of the field. Dylan Blankhorn has a great piece. Sean Turbo has a great piece. Do they have enough for the top two? We'll find out here sooner rather than later as we have 109 laps completed in this one, so closing in on 40 laps to go in this Lucas Oil 150. I know there was a couple of cars still down there. Jerry, looks like they're still going to work on the 29 of Greg Proud, but maybe not as feverishly as one might think.
And yeah, they're working on the left rear of Greg Proud's car, but Waylon Farrell, they've got the rear end of his car up on the jack. They're looking underneath it, so obviously some issues there. So hopefully both these guys can get back out. Little hard to tell exactly what they're working on, but they're trying their darndest to get that 48 car back out here. 29 car, I see Greg Proud climbing out of the car, so that, I take that back. Nope, Greg Proud's on the move. He's headed back for the speedway now.
Well, guys, on the back chute, Donut Watch continues back here at lap 109 up on the scoreboard. There's about a half a dozen new cars with some right side rubber on the door panel. The funniest one, I think, for me right now is that the zero of Sean Turple, you might get confused and start calling him double zero. Check out the right side of the car as he comes by the next time on the front straightaway. There's a big donut there that is like a second number on the race car.
I know you've been watching some donut watch back there, but how about the tape job on the 8 car, Kent Vincent? They've got, I think, 3 or 4 different kinds of 100-mile-an-hour tape on the back of that TireCanada.ca number 8. But Kent Vincent, second time out with that race car, the new-to-them race car, and right now looking at position number 8 for the 8 car. So still some laps left to go, but Kent Vincent, as we've seen before here at Oyster Bed, he's wheeling that race car up towards front.
Well, it's nice to see the 8 car of Vincent have a good run. He's on his third race car this year. He's had a tough go at his brand-new race car destroyed. Got another one tore up at Petty, so this is a car they bought from the 91 team about 2 weeks ago. So he's on his third race car, so it's nice to see him have a good run, and hopefully he gets out without too much damage here tonight.
I'm thinking the 08.
Well, this is the fun of a great Saturday night short track race here in Canada. We've got some hurt bodies and some hurt feelings, I'm sure, in this field right now with 41 laps to go in the Lucas Oil 150 on Race Time Radio, presented by Atlantic Tilt Load. And, guys, what a race so far.
It looks like we got some stay dry going down here. I see Rob Bonus on the front straightaway pointing towards where the stay dry needs to go here. They started putting stay dry down all the way down in corner number two. So it looks like somebody has leaked something. Brad, did you see anything possibly coming from one of these race cars?
No, I didn't, Tim. I just noticed that when they were out cleaning up turn three and four. And sad part about that, where they're putting the stator eye up there in three and four, is where you want to be powering off that turn. So this next restart could have a big effect on the stator eye. Might affect who gets the jump here.
I guess as long as it's not too much fucking fluid and feedy dry there.
So drivers talking on the radios, a little concerned about the speedy dry as we listen in on some scanners. Excuse the choice words.
And the
not sure where that's coming from.
And the great thing is, I would say maybe about this racetrack is that little ocean breeze that we talked about a little bit earlier is blowing around the stay dry. So a lot of it is getting onto the racetrack, but it's also being moved fairly quickly, not by brooms or not by race cars, but by this little breeze that we have in here from, looks like it's working its way from the turn one all the way back to turn four by the looks of the flags here.
It does, and I can tell you, them as much as there is down in turn four, it plays havoc on the restart for a couple laps till that blows up to the top of the racetrack.
They're still laying down stay dry. I believe they must have had two or three bags already. Turn number one and two is white rather than an asphalt color over there in one and two. The stay dry budget might be shot here before we even get finished lap 109.
Well, guys, we just had a really big throwback celebration for Riverside this year. Big anniversary and celebrating the IWK 250. Kent Vincent helped us tonight with some history about Oyster Bed Speedway that started out as a dirt track. So maybe these last 40 laps, we throw a vintage race in. And we're going to go dirt track racing.
They're still working in the stage right here. I see Doug Bird on the front straightaway. If you're just joining us on Racetime Radio, Doug celebrating a birthday this week. So I want to wish happy birthday to one of our lead tech inspectors, Doug Bird, as he helps work in the stay dry here on the front straightaway. And they're still putting down stay dry with that Shaw's Towing cleanup crew.
I got to be careful I don't get in my microphone up here and affect the broadcast, Tim.
Yeah, you have that nice breeze blowing right in towards you, don't you?
I do. I got open windows in the front. I got open windows in the end. The only thing I'm missing is a little bit of bar service.
I'm sure we can arrange that for you. So now we get down towards the end of this race. Brad, we got 40 laps to go in this one. Robbie McEwen is leading this race. You won a race here back in 2006. Talked about battling with Dale Holmes. What do you think Robbie McEwen is going through inside that race car, looking for his first win on this Parts and Trucks Pro Stock Tour? He's won here before in weekly competition. Obviously, this is his home racetrack. What do you think the emotions are right now, getting closer to the end of the race and Robbie McEwen doing so well up front?
Well, back in when we were running, Tim, we didn't have the choice where we would start on the lane choice up front, and we knew that you needed to be in second spot, and that night I was fortunate enough. The last caution came on lap 56, and I was sitting in second, so I got to start up at the outside. The rest was history. So that changes the picture here, and McEwen has that choice to start up on the outside. But does he go there with all the speedy dry? And you know he wants to win it. And then you got the 91 that hasn't got a win. He's a local boy here, too, would like to have a win for a sponsor to get their first win of the season. And you heard in this pre-race show, if it comes down to the late, you got to rough them up. They're going to get roughed up. So, like you said, if we get a couple more cautions here, this might be a little early to rough it up yet. But I don't think we're done seeing the cautions here tonight up front. And it looks like it takes the 40 car about six laps to really come in. And they sort of go side by side. So, as the car comes in, he seems to get a little bit of an advantage over the 91 of Gosby. But this long caution leaves everything cool down, the brakes, the tires, so it puts the two cars pretty even.
And well, looking at those top two, you got the 40 of Robbie McEwen, never won in this series. You got Dylan Gosby, who has one win, but I believe it was 2013 back at Petty International Raceway. He went to victory lane. Dylan Blankhorn, obviously the point leader. He's had some success here. Sean Turple's had an up-and-down season in that Zero car. Would love to get back to victory lane and get back to victory lane here at Oyster Bed. And Craig Swanwhite, methodical in that first race here that we had at Oyster Bed Speedway. Got a top three finish out of that one. This track is his Achilles heel, so if he can get back up here and have a good run in that 99 heading into the Torremont Cat 250, that number 99 car could get some momentum here this evening and get some in a good way if he can get up here a little bit further past where he is in fifth.
And have a good look at this field, because other than that front row, all those guys in behind them that are now chasing them for the win all came from the back of the field at the start. Blankhorn was way at the back. So was the 99, and Slomoy was in the middle. 54, Jared Butcher was at the back. He's now up in the top six. This is a fight that's going to get nasty.
So we're lined up side by side as they're going to come back green. It's Gosby on the bottom. McEwen choose the outside. They'll come out of four. And we're going back green side by side down the front straightaway. Gosby gets a good jump. McEwen fights back on the outside as they come out of turn two. Advantage goes to McEwen a little bit, but Gosby's fighting back on the bottom. We'll see what McEwen's got off the outside as he pulls Gosby, but Gosby's still there fighting back. Gosby doesn't want to give up the spot. McEwen's fighting hard on the outside. John Turbo sitting back watching what's going on.
Up and through the cloud of dust in three and four. Here comes Rodney McEwen in the lead down the front straightaway. Gosby digging deep in one and two. He's got some help. Sean Turbo lined up behind the 91. Takes a look to the outside this time into turn three. McEwen is getting the rear end painted by the 91. Scott Bumper in the front three now. Single file. And they start to stack up side by side behind him.
Front four are in single file, and that's the battle for fifth. The 99 of Craig Slumwhite, the 54 of Jared Butcher, and Butcher on the outside makes it work down on a three and four down the front straightaway. Slumwhite trying to go to work on the bottom as they go down the back chute.
And they've been at it all night long for position number five. The 54 of Butcher on the outside, the 99 of Slumwhite working that inside line of the 54 of Butcher. That battle far from over, but speaking of the battle, the 91 nipping at the bumper on the 40 of Robbie McEwen holding on, but Gosby is there.
Gosby all over the back bumper. McEwen, Jared Butcher did get around the 99 of Slonwaite. Now he's all over the back bumper of Blankhorn. Put a blanket over the top six as they go door handle to door handle.
Out of turn four, Gosby one more time. Get to that left rear corner panel on the 40 car. Can't make it stick. Turple and Blankhorn are lined up behind them. They are waiting for it, but trouble down in turn number one. The caution flag will fly again as we've got cars up to the high side and stopped at the entrance to turn number one.
29 to Greg Proud, the 08 of Nicholas Doggle got turned around. Sean Pearson, the 21, just did a spin trying not to hit them. And now the 08 of Noggle, he's headed off to the pits to check out the race car. And so, we have 116 laps on the board here in the Lucas Oil 150 from Oyster Bed Speedway. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back on Racetime Radio.
Hello, race fans. It's Adam Andretti, and you're listening to the best of Racetime Radio.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, channel 167.
It's one of the toughest, most prestigious races to win in Canadian Super Late Model Racing.
Are you clear? You're clear?
Saturday, August 10th. Pre-race coverage begins at 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us for live flag-to-flag coverage of the 20th annual Tourmont Cat 250 under the lights at Scotia Speed World in Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada. Featuring the stars of the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour. It's the 20th annual Tourmont Cat 250, Saturday, August 10th.
Everybody, have a safe one. Keep her in one piece.
For race tickets and info, get to scotiaspeedworld.ca and join us live on Racetime Radio.
It's Canada's biggest NASCAR event of the year, the Chevrolet Silverado 250, August 23rd to 25th at Canadian Tire Motorsport Park, featuring the only NASCAR playoff race north of the border and a weekend of off-track fun you won't want to miss. Come for the day or camp for the weekend. The Chevrolet Silverado 250, August 23rd to 25th. Tickets and info at CanadianTireMotorsportPark.com.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
And we are back on Race Time Radio live at Oyster Bed Speedway as we get set to go green.
And it's going to be Gosby and the 40. McEwen up front, but Blakehorn now gets the restart. The outside, they'll come back green. Side by side, down the front straightaway. Gosby, McEwen, go at it. And it's the 08 Noggle just comes on the racetrack. They go door, handle down the backstretch.
One more time, McEwen this time. The advantage on the outside lane, down the front chute. Gosby battling back down low. Front four, all stacked up. As they come out McEwen, the nose in front down to the turn number three.
Robin McEwen fighting with all he's got to hold on to the lead as Dylan Gosby in that 91 tries to work under him. Can't do it, and McEwen puts the 40 car out in front. Back behind the two of them, the battle for third between the 0 of John Turnbull and the 67 of Dylan Blankhorn.
Behind them, Butcher bobbled off of quarter number four that last time by. He lost two spots. He's battling with the 8 car now. Ken Dixon and the 18. Up there in McKinnon. It's a battle for position number 7 as the leaders will come by and lap the 08 car of Nicholas Noggle.
Now a tough run. It's McEwen about a 2 car length lead over Gosby. Blankhorn settles in behind him. They go around the 08 and Noggle, who they're lapping. It's about a 2 car length back. Gosby's trying to catch up here at lap 122. It's go time. Blankhorn turns on the jets along with Triple, followed by the 99. Swanway back up to fifth.
Picking it up in six is the 18 of Darren McKinnon, followed by the 54 of Jared Butcher, the 5 of Jonathan Hicken, the 8 car of Ken Dixon ahead of him. And now out of 3-2, they're also in there, Waylon Farrell in the mix in the top 10. Just outside, Allison McKinnon, 07, 81, Kevin Scott, 29, Frank Crowd, trying to find his way to the front. This time out of turn number 4, the leader battle will take us to lap 125. We've got 25 to go in the Lucas Oil 150.
The 91 of Gosby painting that back bumper, the 40 of Robbie McEwen. Gosby knows it's time to go. It's a 25-lap shootout here at Oyster Bed. The 40 of Robbie McEwen holds the point. Blankhorn comfortably in third, but there's no love loss in behind them. Proud battling with Noggle with a shot in the shorts there. Troy Burke swapping a little bit of paint. They are battling hard at the back of the field.
And now back into the pitcher, Jonathan Hicken. He gets into the top 8. He's looking to get back up through the field. Up front, Gosby puts the bumper to the 40, off of 2.
And there's a little black mark that started on the right front fender of the 91 of Dylan Gosby. That started a few laps ago. Robbie McEwen trying to pinch him down in the corner. It's now Gosby's turn to say, no more pinching. Let me help you get up the racetrack all by myself.
McEwen way better in 3 and 4, but Gosby's better in 1 and 2, and that's where the difference is. As 1 and 2, Gosby goes in, puts the bumper to him. Just a little nudge. They go at it, down, back to stretch. Gives the advantage now. Oh, Gosby gets a bumper into him coming off of 4. McEwen leads it.
As the leaders rage on up in front, challenging the 6 now is the 5 of Jonathan Hicken. He drove around the 54 and Jared Butcher knocking on the door of the 18. Darren McKinnon's 5 car is coming, but he's running out of laps.
And if they keep up this pace, they're going to be in lap traffic sooner rather than later. Noggle, Hughes, and Rogers ahead of your leader is Gosby. He's able to get that car to cut down 3 and 4 on the back bumper of Robbie McEwen. Where does he move him? He may have moved him there into 1.
And it's Gosby putting the bumper to the 40, coming off of 2. But McKinnon just, McEwen just hangs tight. They're bumper to bumper, put a blanket over them. Inches apart as they come around the lap car and Noggle. Had to give a little room, breathing room to the 40. And McEwen, but Gosby in hot pursuit all over the back bumper.
Dylan Blankhorn is lying in wait in third position. About a car length in the back of the leaders. He has watched these two up front. Use each other up. He got about 15 or so laps to go. And Dylan Blankhorn keeping a close eye on the leader battle. Robbie McEwen is probably 3 of the 91. Gosby trying to close the gap.
The best thing that could happen for McEwen right now is if Blankhorn catches the 91 of Gosby. He'd have to drive defensive driving, which would give some breathing room to the 40 of McEwen. With about 14 laps to go here, McEwen opens up a 2-car lead. Meanwhile, Blakehorn is closing in on Gosby.
The front five are stretched out just a little bit. They've got some racing room, and the battle is heating up with 13 laps remaining. But it is Robbie McEwen who is the class act of this field. He is out in front. He's got about three car lengths of the 91 of Dylan Gosby.
He's got the better long run car right now. The 40 is pulling away. The 91 of Dylan Gosby falling back into the clutches of Blakehorn. Swanwhite is not done. He's battling with Turbo there about a half straightaway, though, behind the 40 of Robbie McEwen as they work down 11 laps to go. The 40 closing in on his first tour win.
And Blakehorn has almost caught the back bumper of the 91 of Gosby. This will be a welcome sight for the 40 and McEwen, as Gosby will have to drive defensively to protect that second spot, and Blakehorn is there.
10 laps to go to the end of this Lucas Oil 150 presented by Atlantic Tilt Load here at Oyster Bed Speedway. And Robbie McEwen, a local island boy, looks like he could be the one.
We got a big class car battle at the back of the field. We'll have to watch as the 08 Nicholas Cottle slid off the front bumper of the 29 Greg Proud. We'll have an eye for that yellow just in case. There they go again. Proud lifts up the 08 car.
The 08 car will park it in the infield in turn 3 and 4. As the field continues to look around here, caution flag will fly. And as soon as the caution flag flies, Noggle pins the throttle.
That's the last thing McEwen wanted to see, is a caution to come out late here with 8 laps to go. All the friendships out the window now. It's going to be push and shove.
And Noggle pulls out in front of Greg Proud. Surprise, surprise. There's one bear you don't want to poke on this tour, and it's Greg Proud. I think Nicholas Noggle may have found himself a fight.
They've been going at it here, Tim, for the last 2 laps on the backstretch. And Proud still sits in behind the 08. That's been going on for 2 or 3 laps, so that was definitely intentional.
Noggle is 3 laps down. Greg Proud is on the lead lap.
Well, we said it was going to get ugly as they fought for position. We got 8 laps to race, just 8 to go, and actually that's going to be 7 when the green flag comes down, and that goes to 143.
And here's the thing. Robbie McEwen's car is really good on the long run. It's decent on the short run. You're going to have Gosby right there. Dylan Blankhorn going to start on the inside line. Turple on the outside line. Brad Mann, if you're Dylan Gosby, how hard do you pitch it down into turn number 1, assuming he's got on the inside line?
Well, you know that McEwen's going to give him the inside, but I'd be a little worried this late. Is he going to use him up down on the inside? Because if you're McEwen, you need to pinch the 91 of Gosby down tight so he can't get up off of turn 4 in that restart.
He's been doing a pretty good job of that, Brad. Have a look at the right front corner of the 91 as he comes around. You'll see a big black mark on there. That came in turn 3 and 4 every time.
But what worries me for the last 4 or 5 restarts, Jerry, the 91 is right there on his bumper for about 6-7 laps. And he could move him on any of them laps. But you also got to think it's no-fault racing. If the 91 takes out this 40, they both go to the back. So it's going to be interesting, but look for some racing is rubbing, and we're going to get some hard rubbing here with a few laps to go, that's for sure.
I just saw Terry Nelson here coming through the concourse, and he gave me a thumbs up, so that's always good from the 67 team. So anytime Terry Nelson is smiling, that's a good thing. We'll see what Blankhorn can do from position number 3. Turple has been consistent up in the top 5. Running in position number 4, and then the 99 of Craig Swanwhite wants to get back to the podium. If you're with us on Racetime Radio, grab a cold drink. This one is going to be a barn burner to the end with 7 laps to go.
Well, and have a look at who's restarting in 6th on that outside lane. Prior to the caution, I would challenge that the 5 of Jonathan Hicken was the fastest car on the racetrack. He got around the 18 of Darren McKinnon and was closing in on that top group, while the caution brings the 5 car into the mix. He's in that 3rd row, but you never know what's going to happen with 8 laps to go.
Well, as we said, all the friendships are out the window. There are no friends on the racetrack at the moment. So get yourself ready, because here they come to turn 3 and 4. They're on the loud pedal, and the green flag is in the air.
Side by side, down the front straightaway. McEwen gets a little bit of advantage. Gosby fights back. Third side by side, out of 2. A little bit of advantage for McEwen going down into 3. We'll see if he can get off of 4 real good this time. He does. He clears the 91 to Gosby, but Gosby will settle in back behind him. He's been putting the bumper to him, but he doesn't this time by. McEwen clear on the backstretch with 6 to go.
McEwen has got open asphalt in front of him. Trouble off the back chute. 18 cars here in the kid into the grass. 5 laps to go this time. McEwen leads the field down the back straightaway. Dylan Dawson in chase. He's faced by the 0 of Sean Turple. Dylan Blankhorn, the 67. Here comes Hicken on the outside.
Hicken looking to take that spot away from Blankhorn as he drives in the corner herd. 4 to go. Blankhorn sits in fourth. Up front, it's going to be McEwen with about a 2-car length lead. 3 laps to go for the rookie McEwen, who's never had a win on the tour. Gosby over the back bumper, and here comes Sean Turple. All over the back bumper of Gosby.
40 car of Robbie McEwen pulling away at the sticks. 2 laps to go for car number 40, Dylan Gosby. In second, comfortably in second, closes the gap a little bit there through 1 and 2. Turple pulling away from Blankhorn in position number 3. White flag for the 40 of Robbie McEwen, the driver who grew up cutting his teeth here at Oyster Bend Speedway in a late model car, works his way up to the Parts and Trucks Pro Stock Tour, and on a part-time basis, we're going to have a first-time winner. Robbie McEwen goes to victory lane at Oyster Bend.
And what a wild finish. We were expecting we might have seen another caution. We didn't. They raced it clean to the end, but boy, they really put on a show. Robbie McEwen in the number 40 car will pick up his very first Parts for Trucks Pro Stock Tour win. Dylan Gosby up to congratulate him. And now Darren McKinnon also joining into the potato posse up front. As the three of them on the back straight away. And the pit parade begins as we await our top three down here in Victory Lane. That was a wild, wild finish as they got to the end of the race, but they managed it. We were looking for a little bit more contact. I'm glad we didn't see it. Boy, they've had their share of it here tonight. But what a finish for Robbie McEwen. And Dylan Gosby, the number 91, will bring it home in second spot. Then the 0 of Sean Turple. And checkered flag in hand, Robbie McEwen is off for a victory lap.
And Jerry, as Tim Terry gets down to victory lane to kick off these celebrations, Robbie McEwen making the big lap. I really want to extend a sincere thank you to the good people, Ann Butcher, family, and the team at Atlantic Tilt Load for bringing Racetime Radio out to the island for the first time. This was an incredible race here at Oyster Bed Speedway, and I really hope we get the invitation.
As Robbie McEwen pulls into victory lane, Josh Morrison, you've been waiting for this for a long while.
Took a long time, man, for us to get this. This is unbelievable. We were so close so many times, and no one might not know it, but we ran second and third and first so many times, and we always had bad luck, something would happen. And finally, Robbie pulled it off, and he did it. This is all them. This is all them. I stepped down over a year ago now, just spotting for him. This is wicked, though. We've been best friends forever. Can't wait. We're going to party. Woo!
We're going to come over here and get ready to see the 40 driver of Robbie McEwen climb from the Rising Construction Beaton Racing. Number 40 car, a winner, first time on the tour here at Oyster Bed Speedway. And there's a huge crowd around this race car waiting for Robbie to emerge from this number 40 car. He's collecting his thoughts down there. Josh Morrison congratulating the whole crew getting in. They've got the checkered flag here and last couple of belts. Hans Device coming off. Driver number 40. He's out of the car. Can hear you now, Robbie McEwen.
And Robbie jumps out of the car into the arms of his crew. Excitement doesn't even begin to describe what Robbie McEwen is feeling.
Another hug here from Dougie. Congratulations, you're a winner on the Pro Stock Tour.
Thanks, buddy, man. I never would have dreamt this, to be honest with you. Just as soon as we took the lead, just counting down lap after lap, and I can't believe you sealed the deal. Can't even believe it. It's crazy, man.
You've battled many times here with Dylan Gosby on the weekly show and here on the tour. What does it mean to beat that number 91 for the win here?
100%, man. He's awesome to race against. Congrats to them. I couldn't picture it to be any better.
Yeah. Your first tour win at your home racetrack. I know it hasn't set in yet, but look at this crowd around this race car. This is awesome.
Oh, it's unreal. I couldn't do it without these guys and my amazing sponsors, my girlfriend, just I'm just lucky guy I get to drive.
And now are we going to the Cat 250 now that we can?
Oh, yeah. That was the plan. We're still going to be there, so.
Who do you got in this race car for sponsors? Because I'll be out too.
Oh, man. Beaton Racing, Kirk. He's unreal. He's been with us for 4 or 5 years. Dan McGrath. You got Rison Construction. Warren Phillips, Phillips Auto Sales. We got Island Auto Supply, Wayne's Auto Mart, Stewart Travel Group, Burley Bros Seafood. Just a bunch of amazing guys and partners.
Party's on now, eh?
Oh, yeah. Can't wait.
Congratulations.
Thanks, Tim.
It's Robbie McHugh and a first-time winner on the tour here at Oyster Bay Speedway.
And I can only imagine how big that party's going to be and how long it's going to go. The Cat 250 is next Saturday, so keep that in mind as you get it going.
Okay, Jerry, I caught up with Sean Turple. Sean, you and I are talking off the air a little bit. Good run for you, a third-place finish. But the big thing is you took the old race car out and parked the new one.
Yeah, we switched back to our old car this week and tested at Halifax midweek, and it showed speed right off the bat and had awesome feel in it. And we didn't make any changes all day. It was solid out of the trailer and just kept track position, and the guys kept plugging away all day, and I kept plugging away on the track, and we were able to come home with a third-place finish. I'd like to thank all my guys, all my great sponsors, Cecil, Stevie, Dexter Construction, Ledwich Lumber, Bubba, Cassie, Matt, Larry, Chad, Michelle, everybody who helps me out. It's awesome.
It's got to be a feeling of rejuvenation to come out. You've had a rough year with the new car, and sometimes we talk about that. New's not always better. You can't get the bugs out of them, and look what you do with the old faithful.
Yeah, I wish we had to pull this out. Maybe second race of the year. Tried that other one for one race. We just couldn't get it to figured out. I'm sure it's a good car for the right type of track, but we just couldn't get it right for me, and I'm glad to be back in the old car. And we'll head to home track next weekend with some momentum and a lot of optimism, and I can't wait to get to the Cat 250.
So there you have it, the zero car. Sean Turple, very happy. I'll try to catch up with Dylan Gosby here. Jerry, he's got to be around. Oh, here, he's over here. I'll catch up to him at the car. Dylan Gosby, a great run for you in front of your home fans with the 91 car. A lot of respect there you showed to Robbie McHugh, and it was nice to see the two of you running and giving each other room.
Yeah, no, he's a hell of a guy, great racer. He raced the same way, man. So I said to the guys on the radio, I was disappointed we didn't get the win, but they had the better car, hands down. And I couldn't think of somebody better to finish second, too, so it's great.
It's great to see. Like, they're a little team, and they don't come out to all the races. So, I mean, if you're going to lose to somebody, it's great to lose to somebody in your backyard like that.
100%. That's basically what I was trying to say in a nutshell, yeah.
So there you have it. The 91, a good run tonight. The car's in one piece. A lot of respect to the 40 team to get their first victory here. A big, big break for Robbie McHugh, a part-timer, does it in his home turf in front of a grandstand that was full and very elated about the win. Very popular.
It was absolutely a big win. We're congratulating Robbie McHugh. And said, I don't know where the party's going to be. I don't think it'll be hard to find. That's all I can say. It has been a great night here at Oyster Bay Speedway. Thank you for inviting us. We couldn't have had a better time. And we're looking forward to the Cat 250 next week, of course. But as we wrap up this evening, looking ahead to next week, I have to ask Josh. I know you're probably still making your way over here, but your impressions tonight, your first trip to Oyster Bay Speedway.
First trip to Oyster Bay, fantastic. Great people here on the island. Didn't expect anything different. What a race here, this Lucas Oil 150. I love this track. I love good, close racing. I did manage to get back in the pits. Was looking maybe to catch a couple of guys, but lots of work going on there. As we said earlier, a lot of hurt bodies, a little bit of hurt feelings. We're going to have lots to cover with these drivers next Saturday when we come back for the Cat 250. Some questions about some of the incidents that happened here tonight. But absolutely love racing here on the island.
Hello, Robbie.
Some great fans here for the Potato Posse. Hope they join us in Nova Scotia next week.
Way to go, Robbie. That's the way she goes. Attaboy. Right on, Robbie.
Couldn't have said it better myself. And again, thank you, Atlantic Tilt Load, for presenting tonight's race. This has just been fantastic.
Brad Mann, you won here in 2006. Did it look like this race tonight?
It did. It just brought back a lot of memories, Jerry. It was late. It was Dale Holmes and I going at it, and I had about a 5-car lead on him, and I was picking where I'd lap cars to make sure it was harder for him to lap them in better spots. And it was my first win on the tour, and there's no better feeling than getting a win on the tour. And what a night to see the 40 car. I mean, a part-time runner and a small budget team to get this win. This allows this team to be able to go to a couple more races, and who knows that it doesn't open up the eyes of some big sponsor. I mean, this kid can wheel a car. That's an older race car. It's a perimeter car. Besides that, I don't even know if there's any other perimeter cars on this tour. So he's not in the newest of equipment, and he certainly made the best of what he had to work with, and he put on a heck of a show here at Oyster Bed. It's been a blast to bring it to you from Oyster Bed. It's fun to cover it here. A big thanks out to Ann and Darren Butcher from Atlantic Tilt Load for sponsoring the broadcast. We really appreciate it. We've been treated like gold here, Jerry, since we arrived, and hopefully this is just the beginning of a thing for Racetime Radio, that we'll be back next year to cover the two races when the boys come to the island.
It has been a special evening here on Prince Edward Island at Oyster Bed Speedway, and echoing the thoughts of Josh and Brad, it has been an absolute blast, and we thank you for your hospitality. Couldn't have enjoyed it more, looking so much to her. So much forward to a return trip. Next weekend, the Cat 250 will be bringing you all the action live from Scotia Speed World on Racetime Radio. Don't miss a lap, and don't forget Sunday night, we'll have all the winners from the weekend action. Looking forward to being with you once again. I'm Jerry Paxton on behalf of Brad Mann, Josh Paxton, and of course our good friend Tim Terry. That's all for tonight from Racetime Radio.
Thanks for listening to Racetime Radio. Visit us on the web at www.racetimeradio.com. Or leave a message on our 24-hour listener hotline, 1-888-5-RACETIME. That's 1-888-572-2384. We hope you'll join us again next time for more Racetime Radio.
Come on now, dig, dig, dig.
Exclusively on your home for the hardcore race fan.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.